I'm speaking to Farah of the Anti-Racist Environmental Collective. How's it going?
Going really well.
Good. So first off, we should let our listeners know, what is the Anti-Racist Environmental Collective?
Okay, well, the acronym for it's AREC, so I'm probably going to use that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a group that was formally established in September 2001 as a student organization at York U. Initially, it began under the title of Faculty Environmental Studies Anti-Racism Committee in 1994, and it's composed primarily of undergraduate students in environmental studies that really, really wanted to work on issues of anti-racism and environmentalism within the faculty at first, and just pushing the faculty to start recognizing, one, racism within the faculty, within hiring, and just bringing in more people of color, and also addressing the concerns of environmental racism, like what it meant to start talking about the connection between toxic dumping and race and why people are getting racial targeting through that kind of thing, and also just talking about like other issues to do with environmental racism. And it's kind of grown now. So in 2001, we kind of said, you know, we need to split off from the faculty because we were doing so much work within the faculty and not doing stuff outside of the community. And so the hope was with the Anti-Racist Environmental Collective, AREC, we looked at kind of building more coalitions between students and community members interested or involved in environmental justice organizing, and also just bridging the gaps between anti-racism and environmentalism. We also, the group really works to challenge mainstream environmentalism and anti-racism organizing by developing kind of ways to make the two fuse, because a lot of times there's a separation between working on anti-racism or you're working on environmentalism, and those two sometimes don't very meet. So we kind of wanted to see that kind of coming together and creating a space where it could come together, and just, of course, bringing attention to environmental justice and racism in the local community, especially in Toronto. There's a big movement in the States about environmental racism, but in Canada, there hasn't been, with the exception, of course, of First Nations communities, because their whole struggle for land and sovereignty is really, really based around environmental racism, I believe, in a lot of ways, in colonialism and imperialism. But it's really important to get the other perspective, too, of what's going on with communities of color as well, and kind of create a solidarity between the two community groups as well as other groups.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty much why we established. And I guess our big main project, do you want me to talk about that?
Yeah, that would be good.
So our big main project that we're doing right now is we're creating CAREG, which is the Anti-Racist Conference on Anti-Racism Environmentalism. And it's going to be happening in September, and we're really, really excited about it because what's going to be happening is it's going to bring together on September 27th to the 29th at the Steelworkers Hall in Toronto for free. It's going to be a three-day conference on environmentalism and racism, and there's going to be a plethora of different groups. The specific objectives of it are kind of to map out the features of environmental justice and racism movement as they exist in the greater Toronto area, including like a historical overview, main elements, success stories. We also want to challenge the common conceptions of the environment and environmentalism by kind of talking about like questioning the environmentalist agenda and asking why anti-racism should not be a part of it, because it should be. But a lot of times it's seen as a separate issue, and I guess I said that before. And also to create a dialogue between environmentalists and anti-racists and people that are working in environmental justice and other community groups, because we're having six different panels, and panels like ranging from health to transit to toxic waste dumping, and kind of asking community groups that are working within that. So we're asking like healthcare professionals to come in and talk about how they do anti-racist health work, but how they also address issues of environmental racism. So, like Anne Phillips from the South Riverdale Health Clinic will be coming in to talk about what's going on there and how she's working on environmental health concerns of the community there. And like such things as asthma, like there's a huge percentage of people that are getting asthma, and why they're getting asthma? Because of pollution in their community, and who's getting that pollution. So that's something we're working on right now, and it's really, really exciting. Past projects that we've done, we had a lot of really big, not a lot of really big, but 2 years ago, last March, we had a really good speaker series where we had a week long of community activists coming in. So we had people from like Africaville. Howard Marcotti came in and talked about the black settlement in Nova Scotia and Halifax that was one of the galvanizing environmental justice issues that happened in Canada. And he came in to speak, and we had people coming in to talk about health concerns in Toronto community. And we also had other people come in and talk about how do you talk about membership in the environmental movement and why it is so white-dominated. So that's something we've done before, and hopefully this conference will build on that and bring together more people talking about that. And so that's what's going on with Anti-Racist Environmentalist Collective.
Mm-hmm. I thought maybe I'd just ask you about a couple of the terms that you tossed around in there. You know, maybe get a little bit more in depth with this. But just to sort of begin with, maybe you can explain for our listeners, some of whom are probably a little confused but environmentalists, how could they be racist? Because it's the standard media portrayal of environmentalists, you know, people who are concerned with the environment, is that, you know, they seem to be the all over do-gooder. Maybe if you could, just explain, and perhaps why is the environmental movement so white?
Oh, those are two really big questions. I think a lot of times when we talk about the environmental movement, and I do environmental justice workshops actually with high school students, and they kind of, it's interesting to do it with them because they really make it really clear sometimes about how they see it. And I did it for a bunch of youth of color, and we had pictures all around the room. And one of the pictures, I asked them, different pictures, though, pictures of medical and co-op, like kids hiking, and pictures of urban centers and all the kind of stuff. And I said, find a picture that reminds you of environmental issue. And so people found, like, fields and stuff. And then said, find a picture that reminds you of race and racism. And this young man of color went up to this one picture, and it was a Mount Kumakoa picture, and he said, this picture reminds me of racism. And I said, why? And I have my own issues with that, and I was like, okay, well, tell me about that. And he's like, well, it shows me that these are the common conception that I see when I see environmental groups. They use these pictures with white people enjoying nature, and it shows me that I'm not a part of nature, and it's still white man's territory, and what's that mean? And so, I don't know, that was a really high illustration for me of what it meant to be, what was happening in the environmental movement. I think the environmental movement right now in Canada is really built on this, it's still built on this whole, like, conservation and talking about trees and forests, and not a lot of times about the human aspect of the human impact. Like, so yes, they are talking about globalization, but are they talking about what's going on with the racialized aspects of that? So there's not a lot of addressing of it. There's a lot of times of creating this binary between nature and humans. So this huge issue where it's like a generalized thing that humans as like a group, a monolithic group, are the ones hurting the environment and nature's getting harmed. But there's not very much to talk about the fact that certain groups of human beings, such as First Nations peoples, who, like, just use Adams Mine as an example, can have garbage to incinerators or garbage dumps put in their community and target their community so that the community will get sick and stuff. Those things don't sometimes get talked about. And even with public transit, like, who gets hurt in public transit? Who can't afford a lot of times public transit? It's like, I think it's 37.4% of people of color in Canada are living under the poverty line. We're at 17% in Canada of, like, white people that are living under the poverty line. And maybe that doesn't seem like a big differentiation, but in Toronto, like, the majority of people that are living poorly are people of color, and so they're going to be affected by the fact that when transit fare hikes go down, then they'll be affected. Or when low-income communities, when they're placed in certain places where there's asbestos in the building or the building's crumbling because there's poor ventilation or there's bad building practices and where there's pollution coming in or toxics coming in, they can't move. Like, they don't have the power. So when environmental groups don't address those concerns, then it is racist, and there is discriminatory factors of that. And then on top of that, then you also have membership where there's a certain culture with an environmental movement, and a lot of times it's not welcoming of other community groups and not welcoming of other cultures or people. And there's a certain type, it's built on whiteness. Like, I really believe that, and I was getting a little bit nervous about saying that, but no, I really think that a lot of times when we're just talking about membership now, like, put aside the issues itself, but just membership-wise, I think a lot of times the environmental movement is still built on that. And why, to answer your second question, I guess, with that is I think a lot of times the issues, the way they're framed, they're really framed to still privilege the concerns of the white dominant group in Canada and not really question power and privilege. Like, why is it made up of a lot of times middle-class people as well? Like, because sometimes a lot of environmental issues, they may question, like, things like purchasing power and that kind of thing and consumerism, but they don't really question, like, who benefits from those things and, like, where those things come from, such as colonialism and imperialism. They don't really address those issues. They may throw those words around, like, I hear it around sometimes when people talk about globalization, but I don't hear it enough when it comes to environmentalism and, like, who gets their own forests and when things become provincial parks, like, who also gets hurt in that, and sometimes it's other groups, and so, I don't know, I think that's some of the answers with that. Are you in the environmental movement yourself, Andrew? Are you an environmentalist?
Okay, I've never really thought about it as needing to identify as such. I thought that, you know, just general concerns around life being sacred would pretty much guarantee a concern for the environment, quote-unquote.
Yeah.
I don't know, why do you ask?
Well, I just think it's interesting, like, to see, like, who identifies as environmentalist and who doesn't, right? And, like, who comes up with that and says, yes, I'm an environmentalist, and people are so proud, and what comes with that. Like, if we take York, for an example, I don't know if you've ever been in the Faculty of Environmental Studies, there's people of color in the Faculty of Environmental Studies, but it's still, there's a certain culture that comes from it as well, in some ways, and, like, I think that's interesting to see, like, what comes along with that, like, oh, you're vegetarian, or... you know, you dress a certain way, or those kind of, like, I don't know if you read that article, Eco Girls, that came out?
No, I don't think I have.
There's an article called Eco Girls that came out in the Canadian Women's Studies Journal, and it was talking about the environmental girl culture, and it one of the things was really interesting. They said Eco Girls wear ethnic clothing, and they were just talking about, like, and it didn't question the cultural appropriation of it, but it was interesting to see that, and for me, that was... another thing, like, it totally hard, like, didn't say whiteness, but it was totally built on this idea that environmentalists are white, and they wear ethnic clothing, such as clothing from the East, and it wasn't even questioning the cultural appropriation issues with that, and it's interesting, even that. But back to the group, I think it's important, like, the work that we're doing, I think, is really important in the way of going into the community, and in working with the community, different communities, because it's not just that community in Toronto, but... raising those questions, especially when we talk to environmental groups, and there's one group called Toronto Environmental Alliance that is actually questioning those things and bringing up the issues of anti-oppression, and, like, because they have all white staff and they haven't really worked with a lot of community groups, but they're trying to make links, and it's interesting to see that. So there is groups doing something.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's probably fascinating to see, I guess, some of the links, because the quote-unquote environmentalist movement in a lot of ways kind of predates the sort of anti-globalization movement, but you can see where a lot of the sort of templates were set for that movement, the anti-globalization movement, and where they come from within, you know, the sort of environmentalist movement in a lot of ways, I would imagine.
Yeah, you can. I want to see environmental movement do the same thing then in some ways. Like, I think it's interesting, there's a group called Colors of Resistance, and the way that they're pushing the anti-globalization movement to question issues of race and the way that things are organized and how issues are framed is so important, and I'd like to see the same thing happen in the environmental movement, and I see it happening in the States, and I want to see it happening here. Like, when I hear, like, I was interviewed before a job from an environmental group, and they do work on a lot of anti-globalization stuff. They're putting on a conference this week with Vandana Shiva, and it's all about globalization, all these things. But the same group that said to me, you know, we don't intentionally not have any people of color working for us. It just happens so that that's just the way it is. And, you know, we don't happen to have any people of color that on our board. It's just the way it is. And they were just really interesting to talk to them and see the fact that race and racism have never come into their language or into the way that they organize or the way that they question the way they organize. And it's really frustrating, and you see, like, that as racial discrimination, like them not even talking about, like, how or why certain communities are getting targeted.
Mm-hmm. And I guess doubly so, because then it cuts off so many avenues, I guess, of opportunity.
Absolutely. And it's interesting to see that, because then you have them come back, well, like, when I did an interview with another environmental group, with T, they were saying that, you know, these communities are new communities. A lot of communities of color are new because they're immigrants. They don't have the same type of organizing as we do. And, like, we've built up this whole thing. And I was like, pardon? You know, because I really think that a lot of communities get pushed out because they're just not thought of as activist, or they're just not seen in that same context. But we have to question what we're saying. One is resistance, and two, who we're asking to the table and who we're not. And even if they don't want to come to so-called environmental events or come to, like, what are those communities doing and what are the ways that they organize and how can that be celebrated and how can that be seen as just as important? That should be seen just as important. And, yeah, you're missing out a whole plethora of people coming in and doing all this amazing work, too. Like, I don't know, I get really excited about the fact that so many community groups are doing such amazing organizing and doing such amazing work, and it just makes me so happy. And then to see it kind of dismissed in the environmental movement and seeing, like, it's almost seen as, like, we're the architects of the movement, and if you don't follow a certain way of organizing, then you're not really a part of that. And that doesn't work for me.
Mm-hmm. I guess it is really compartmentalized. You know, it's, well, no, the environment is the environment, and this is the work we will do, and not seeing it, I guess, in a holistic worldview of, you know, this is intrinsically, inexorably tied to much of the work we do. You can't really separate environmentalism from, say, anti-colonialism or resisting patriarchy.
Well, that was a big thing with the REC. When we first started working with the faculty, one of our biggest things was talking about how we needed to talk about racism and colonialism when we're talking about environmentalism. And when it wasn't being discussed in our classes in the Faculty of Environmental Studies, that was something we first pushed. And now it's starting to be talked about, and it's so important to see that happening. And so I just think that, like, that has to be happening in the environmental movement. Like, when I do workshops for high school students or when I go to environmental conferences and I don't see that happening, I question that. Like, I question the fact, like, people always say, oh, we can't do everything, but I question the fact that if you don't come from a base of anti-oppression when you're talking about environmentalism or talking about any kind of, like, work, like feminism or anything, like any kind of organizing, then I don't see how it can be really done in a holistic manner that everybody's going to be able to be a part of it. And so REC is really working for that. And I think I'm really excited about the conference because I can see that happening there. Like, the fact that we're having one panel just on membership and having different groups talking about the way that they do organize to bring inclusivity and how they frame issues, and just seeing, like, hopefully that will open up some conversation happening. And also just seeing different groups coming in and just the way that they attack issues will be really, really good. Like, there's one group coming from this First Nations group, Grassy Narrows, that their whole community, due to mining and their community that is leaked into their water system, they have Lou Gehrig's disease, and they're just super ill, like the whole community. And one of the young girls, she's 14 years old, and she's been campaigning the Canadian government. She's going to walking to Ottawa from her community. She's coming to speak, and just the way that they've been organizing around that and the way they've been framing it, it's going to be so amazing to hear them speak about that and how important it is and how they're connecting it to colonialism, how they're connecting it to the fact that First Nations people, like their people, are not being recognized as, like, a sovereign community, and also being dumped on and being really disrespected in so many ways and being discriminated against.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a really good experience, I think. But, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, one of the things I did want to ask you about is you mentioned a couple of times environmental justice.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if you could just expand on that a little. What does that term encompass?
I think it's the right to a safe, healthy, productive, and sustainable environment for all, where environment is considered to be holistically, though, so it's like ecological, physical, like natural and built, social, political, aesthetic, like just everything. And it kind of, for me, it's just like the fact that everybody has a right to a clean, healthy environment. And it also recognizes the fact that injustice happens, like because of institutionalized racism, and we need to kind of express that through environmental justice. I think it's a really good way of talking about resistance. I think if a lot of, I like using that word better, almost, than environmental racism, because environmental racism, it's important to recognize that racial discrimination happens, like, in environmental policy making, enforcement of regulations and laws, and, like, the targeting of communities of color for different things like toxic waste dumping and sitting of polluting industries. But it's also important to look at environmental justice because it's recognizing that people are fighting back and resisting. So it's a really, really, I think, empowering word to use all the time. I like it a lot.
Mm-hmm. And it, I guess it empowers the user of the word, you know, to realize, you know, yeah, we are campaigning for justice, you know, for true justice as opposed to.
It sounds kind of cheesy when you say it like that.
Well, no, it halts my words a little to think about true justice as opposed to the justice the legal system brings, right? Which many people, and I'm sure you concur, don't really feel is justice at all.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I think it's a really good word to use, and also it also kind of denotes, like, when we're talking about empowerment as well, like, in one of the big tenets of the environmental justice movement in the States, which is just phenomenal, one of the things is we speak for ourselves. It's one of their mottos. And I think environmental justice for me is really important because the movement and what we're trying to build at IREC is that communities can speak for themselves. They don't need other people. They need us to support them and be in solidarity and do work to, like, help and everything. But these communities know what's going on with them, and they are the educated knowledge holders of what's happening to them, and they should be able to speak for themselves and tell other people what's going on in their lives and be able to kind of decide what's going on in their lives. Like, so I think it's really, really, it's an important concept, and I really want to see it more and more pushed in the environmental movement. Like, it's interesting when we've been called them the Big Ten environmental groups across Canada to.
What are the Big Ten groups?
like Pollution Probe, Greenpeace, Sierra Club, Conservation Society, the World Wildlife Fund. I have a list, but those are like the big six. Mm-hmm. And we've been calling them and asking them and telling them about our conference and stuff, and they're like, environmental racism, what's that? Some of them, and we're like, oh no.
They didn't, did they?
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah, it's funny, but it's not funny. And like, it's interesting. So it's like Sierra Club, they know, like, they use the term and they do some work around it, but like, and there's other groups that know, but to actually work on it, no, and like, to really address it, no, but like, yeah, some groups were like, what are you talking about? Yeah, it was, yeah, we think it's funny, but it's kind of sad.
Well, you either laugh or you cry.
Yeah, well, that's what it, you know what, this conference, organizing this conference has been like that, like, even talking to funders, like, we've had to do tap dancing to get funders to even acknowledge that it exists, like, a lot of times people have been saying, well, this must be an advocacy project because, you know, you're pushing an agenda about racism and you're questioning things. And we're like, well, yeah, but it's really crazy that this term is so foreign to people. Like there's this huge push in Canada, like, when we talk about multiculturalism, which I know you probably have maybe, like, understand this, but, like, you know, the whole idea of, like, multiculturalism in Canada, like, you know, everybody is different but the same, you know, and Canada cares about everybody equally, but everybody can hold on to their culture and everything, but it doesn't really talk about the fact that people are still getting so much racial discrimination in Canada, and one of the ways it does manifest is through institutionalized racism, and that's one of the biggest ways that racism manifests, and of course it's going to manifest in institutionalized racism to do with environmental policy, and the way that corporations dump, and the way that certain groups are allowed, like, to, like certain mining companies, like Inco, can go into, like, places like Davis Inlet in the Innu Nation and totally mine and ruin the community, like, the land around the community. Or low level military fight training that happens over that community. So, yeah, like, it's kind of crazy when I talk to environmental groups and I'm like, you're not addressing this? Like, I can't believe this. And then they say to me, oh, we don't have the time. And then you're just like, or they just don't have the capacity. Like, that's a big thing that we get back to. Like, we don't have the capacity to work with people of color because we don't have any people of color on our organizing team. And I say back to them, well, you don't have to be a person of color to work with communities of color. You have to figure out ways to work in solidarity with these communities. Like, and also, to be an anti-racist, you don't have to be just a person of color. I don't know if that's a secret out there or something, but yeah, like, anybody can be anti-racist, and like, it's important to recognize that too. And I think that's a cop-out when people are like, oh, I can't because, you know, I'm not from that community.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can take over, or like, I think there's a line. I think it's important to recognize that you can't, like, speak for everybody else, and you can't take over an issue. And I think that's what happens a lot of times, too, is, you know, we take on these issues of certain communities and say, oh, I'm helping out, but you're kind of not letting those communities speak for themselves. But I also think it's important to figure out ways to work in solidarity with communities. But yeah, the environmental groups, I can't believe them. Sometimes I'm like, whoa, they're still really racist.
Yeah. And I mean, it's just bizarre because I know one of the groups you're speaking of, and I mean, I just know someone who actually is on the board, and you know, this person is a person of color, and is also an immigrant to Canada. You know, I just can't imagine what their experiences must be like trying to, you know, just kind of sway this organization sort of into the 21st century, perhaps. Okay, so you have this conference coming up, and it sounds like you're going to be able to do a whole lot of really good educational work and sort of, I guess, strategizing as well. Maybe for our listeners' benefit, you can mention, you know, how they might be able to get involved in helping out with the conference, or if they want to maybe register really super duper early if they're keeners or something.
If they're like keeners.
Yeah, you know, if they're the ones who would always sit at the front of the class, you know, be the first person in there.
Well, we'd love it. Like, the more people, the merrier. And if people hear about the conference, please spread the word. If you want to help out with the conference organizing, our next meeting is for conference organizing is on June 12th, 2002, at the first floor at the U of T Women's Center from 6:30 to 8:30. And the conference itself is going to be happening on September 27th to the 29th. And an interesting thing to note with that is that we're working a little bit with Plan and Focus, which is really exciting. They're the Environmental Film Festival, and they're going to be showing some films with us, which is really great for the conference. But and if people want to register, they can register online in the coming month at www.yorku.ca/AREC, A-R-E-C. And you can email us as well at AREC@yorku.ca. So AREC@yorku.ca. And Andrew, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to make attention to this issue, because it's super important and super nice when people take the time. So thanks.
Oh, no problem. I've known of the sort of York anti-environmentalist, or sorry, anti-environmentalist.
Not anti-environmentalist.
Well, that was a Freudian slip of the tongue there, wasn't it? I've known of the anti-racist environmental organizing here for a while, mostly just through my connections with the PERG. But once I'd actually gotten the information about this, I was really intrigued, and I thought that this would be something that would be very important for our listeners to hear about as well.
Yeah. And if people like want to get involved, we'd love it. And also, if people know about different speakers they want to come in and anything like that, it'd be great.
What kind of stuff would you need people to be doing?
What do we need people to be doing?
Yeah.
Everything. Right now, we're working with a group of 8 people, a core group of 4, really organizing it right now. We still need help fundraising. We're trying to make it completely accessible. That means like free meals, Subway tokens, translation, having paying for all our speakers' costs, as well as paying for the play, so that nobody is turned away and so it's free, and so that kind of thing, as well as just like people to come, like bodies to come to the actual conference and help out at the site, propaganda, like getting in touch with the media and making media events, like things like that. And it's great to even have people come out to the meetings and kind of get feedback about it, because sometimes we don't want to be like this group being like, yes, we're speaking for everybody that's feeling this way, and like not having reflection back from other people is not going to really help us like move on as a group, right?
Mm-hmm. Do you have like U of T, and obviously you're meeting at the U of T Women's Center, but do you have like, say, is there a U of T group or like any other campus groups that you know, you can work with?
Actually, we're really lucky. OPIRB Toronto, Mookie and Patricia have been wonderful in helping us out on the board. They're sponsoring all our funding. So they're helping us, like, they're giving us their charitable registration number, and we're under them to go get funding. So that's fabulous. And we've had a lot of people come out from community groups as well, like the First Nations Solidarity Group. A few people have come up for that from there. And Youth Action Network is supporting us, as well as we're just talking to Plan and Focus, of course. And that's about it right now for other groups. But we're trying to not just focus on campus-based groups, but also getting people from, like, different sectors as well. So, like, the health sector, like Women's Health and Women's Hands is supporting us. Same with the Riverdale Health Community Center is helping us out. And, yeah, we're really, really lucky in the way that we're seeing that a lot of groups are really excited about this. And hopefully that will translate into a really, really good conference where concrete things come out of it, such as strategizing for what's going to happen in the next coming years in the environmental movement and really pushing the agenda.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, I guess if you want to just let or remind our listeners one more time when the conference will be. That would be great.
Okay, great. The conference is happening. It's going to be happening in September 2002. From the 27th to the 29th, and at the Cecil Street Steelworkers Hall. And it's a free event, so we can come up for all of this stuff. And our website, again, is www.yorku.ca/AREC, AREC. And hopefully people will come out.